She's here. She is Laura Sievert, and she is with Arts Quincy, and she is taking a big sip of Harvest Ridge coffee, freshly brewed right here at the Radio Ranch, out of her disgusting University of Iowa mug. But that's okay. The coffee inside tastes good. She is evil to the core. Now, there's so much going on.
Before you go away from
the mug topic. Before we get into the real reason you're here, tell me some story about Iowa and how wonderful they are.
No, I was at Hy-Vee the other day, and somebody recognized me from talking. They're like, "You're on the Mary Griffith Show all the time." And I said, "Yeah, I am." And she goes, "I want to see that Iowa mug."
Rat.
And she was from a house divided. She was from an Iowa Illinois house divided. Mm-hmm. Like one of her kids had gone one place and one the other. And she goes, "I'd like your Iowa mug." I said, "Yeah, it's fresh from Kinnick Stadium." Yeah.
Yeah. You know, somebody in our neighborhood painted their house, their basement, completely black and gold. And the only person who could possibly buy it then would be either a Mizzou fan or an Iowa fan. Are the same colors of black and gold? Are they the same shade?
The gold is not the same shade.
Not the same. Okay. Well, I was just laughing because, of course, as a curious neighbor years ago, we went and looked at the house, and I'm like, oh, my God. Whoever buys this better like black and gold, because this is going to take coat after coat after coat to paint over. But anyway, we digress. I want to talk about Roar. The exhibit and the land before time. The Quincy Children's Museum Roar Discovered Dinos exhibit, I think it has come to an end, hasn't it? The only way to see it now is to go to the thing on Saturday at Washington Theater. Yeah. The Roar exhibit, I think it closes today. I think you could still see it at the Children's Museum today. Then they're going to take it down on Thursday and Friday. They're going to put up a new exhibit. And then Roar, the dinosaurs, are going on tour. And they're going on tour Saturday morning. Their first stop is 9:30 at the Washington Theater. They're going to have a breakfast that's going to be served there. And then The Land Before Time is going to be shown. And all they ask is a free will donation. It's a fundraiser for the Washington Theater.
Yep, I love this. Land Before Time gave me all the feels. It's one of those heartbreaking movies of my youth. But it should be a lot of fun. Quincy Children's Museum always does amazing things. I think they'll probably have some of their other games and things out. But what a great traveling exhibit this has been, and an experience. You're never too old to get really nerdy about dinosaurs. I'm just telling you that right now. We were talking about dinosaurs in the green room. I just was up at the Field Museum. So this is a great opportunity. Again, it's Saturday, April 12th. That's this Saturday. I don't know where April's going already.
I know. You looked at me when I said it's April 12th. You looked at me like, Mary, that's not the right week.
Yeah,
but
no.
That's my fault.
It's running away from me. My taxes are in. I don't need to worry about it now.
Oh, God. Mine aren't. And I'm afraid. I'm going to call today. I know they hate it when you call.
Oh.
But it's like, I'm so, well, anyway.
I'll tell you what, A, B, and G does mine, and they do our counting at Arts Quincy, too, and boy, they do a good job. Unpaid advertisement.
Oh,
sorry.
God. Would you please? It's bad enough. Okay, go on with your little story.
Okay. No, that was it. That was it. It's going to be a big weekend in the arts. We're off the rails often lately, me and you, Mayor. Make sure you check that out at the Quincy Children's Museum, and then check out their other exhibits. They've always got something new cooking, and I love that about this exhibit space that they've got. There's some things that are permanent and you're always going to see, and there's some things that are changing and new every time you go in, and I think that's just fantastic.
It is fantastic. Also, the Quincy Symphony. We just had Jane Paulette on yesterday.
Yeah.
What they're doing with Tony Taylor, which is her nickname is Tony the Tiger. Tiger Imagery. She's a professional photographer. What they're doing with that is just fantastic. They're going to use that big screen they have for about a 15-minute show that will accompany the Aaron Copland piece. So that is going to be exciting.
I am super excited about this symphony concert. They are playing one of my all-time favorite pieces, period. Aaron Copland's Hoedown from Rodeo. It is the Beef It's What's For Dinner commercial, right?
See, I call it Rodeo, too. But the other day, Jane called it Rodeo, so I thought, well, I'm probably wrong. But
I think it's supposed to say Rodeo.
It is Rodeo, I think.
I don't know. I mean, Jane would probably know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I don't know.
So I played that piece in high school with Clyde Bassett when he was the late Clyde Bassett, who was a conductor at Quincy High, but also for the symphony.
For the symphony for many years.
But I this is a story I love to tell about him because it's one of the most iconic Clyde moments, because he was a really funny kind of nerdy dude. And we were all getting the rhythm at the end of that song incorrect, right? We weren't playing the rhythm right. And so he made up the words, want to buy a duck. So it's, want to buy a duck, want to buy a duck, want to buy a duck, want to buy a ducky. How about you? That's the end of the song. So to this day, I'm a 43-year-old musician. And when I can't do a rhythm right, I figure out a way to write about ducks. And I write out something to help me with rhythms about the ducks, which is from Hoedown from Rodeo. So I've been telling my kids about this. We're going to go. Maybe the most important thing to know about a symphony concert is it is free for kids 18 and under. So if you're always thinking, man, stuff is expensive these days. I mean, all I'm doing is buying a single ticket for myself. Sometimes I take my husband. He's going to be out of town this weekend. But buy that ticket for me, and then the kids can come for free. And my kids have been going to symphony. The first one Elliot went to, he was 3 years old. I brought him some Dum Dum Pops in case he got wild, and we had a great time watching the watch. And then there's this guest artist. The guest artist from the
And I got his name down. It's Jocelyn.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. I'm glad I didn't have to try to take that one on.
I didn't know that, but Miss Paulette happened to know what she was talking about.
Here's what I know: French horn extraordinaire. I mean, just an amazing musician from the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So cool to have him here. So tickets are just $18 for adults, $15 for seniors, and of course, kids 18 and under are free. Detailed information at QSOA, and then also in the magazine. So check it out.
Check it out. Okay, but wait, there's more.
There's always more.
Now, tonight we have, we talked about Dr. Krikar doing an event at the John Wood for the Historical Society and Bicentennial, but the Historical Society also has their regular Sunday afternoon event this Sunday, April 13th at 2, and this will be at a new location, the Quincy Art Center, because it's about a famous artist.
That's right. I actually just bumped into Dr. Hodel the other day, and he was telling me all about this program, so it sounds quite amazing. The artist's name is John Cudor, and he was best known for work of literary inspiration, right? So the one that I recognized is called The Headless Horseman Pursuing Ichabod Crane, and I'd seen the painting before. I didn't know much about it, but I'd seen it before. But Dr. Hodel was saying many of his pieces were inspired by literature of the time and known illustrating these great stories, great well-known stories. So this program is 2:00 at the Quincy Art Center, totally free to attend. Also, you'll be able to see the tail end of the exhibit that's going on right now with the wildlife photography that is outstanding.
Yeah, that is so good.
So I've been to it 4 times because my son is really, really into it, and he has been sitting on the floor of the Art Center drawing the animals. Just
cool.
Like laying on the floor. I have the cutest pictures of him laying on the floor drawing the big bison, and and his drawings are really good. He's 7.
That is wonderful.
But that's a great way to experience the Art Center. People don't maybe think of doing that with their kids, but if you want a fun activity, get him a little sketchbook and a pencil and head on over.
You know, I just was at a birthday party for a young man who's a senior in high school, and he got sketching paper and pencil pens and special things, and I thought, you know, that's your friends really know you and love you when they do that.
That's
right. Is really cool. So,
on a last but not least note, I want to mention we've got the Dogwood Video Contest for royalty. We've gotten a bunch in this week. We extended the deadline. The deadline is Monday. It cannot be extended again because we got to let the little kings and queens and princesses know who is riding in the parade. Just a 90-second video is all it takes. Talk about the future of Adams County. Boy, we got some cute ones in. I had one little girl who wants to paint the entire town pink. Like Barbie universe.
I vote for her.
It was
I
pretty
vote
adorable.
For her.
So get those in. We'll be picking the Arts Quincy Prince and Princess and King and Queen, and they will be riding in the parade in some really, really cool Gym City Ford Broncos.
Yeah.
I would like to take those for the weekend. And also, our George M. Irwin Arts Awards are going on, too. You're in the presence of a winner of the George M. Irwin Art Award.
It must be me.
It is Mary. But if you think of anybody else that is awesome, not as awesome.
No one could be as awesome as me. But if someone comes remotely close.
Right.
Please, please recommend them. No, it really is an honor. I was so surprised when I got it. And This is just somebody, and really, it's not me. And I always say this. It's WTAD, because right. without this microphone, I'd just be standing on the corner of 4th and Main talking, and my audience would not be as big. I recognize that as myself, I'm not quite as exciting. But it is exciting, and there's a lot of people who speak up for the arts. So please, if you know somebody who's speaking up for the arts, recognize them.
Yeah, the categories this include the Lifetime Achievement Award, of course, that's our most prestigious award, with like the decades-long careers in the arts that have done amazing things. We have Arts Nonprofit of the Year, recognizes a nonprofit with substantial impact on cultural development through artistic achievement, programming, or leadership. We have the Fine Arts Teacher of the Year for the City of Quincy, which can be public or private schools, and then the Fine Arts Teacher of the Year from the county school. So there's two separate awards, a city and a county. And then Arts Access Leader of the Year, which is the one we were just talking about with Mary, that recognizes efforts to increase access to the arts and let people know what's going on. So get those nominations in. It's just a real quick form on artsquincy.org. Awards are given at a special ceremony in June. And they'll be recognized in the Arts Quincy magazine.
Okay, there's more, but we don't have time because we have to get to the Salvation Army. But thank you, Laura. And everybody, go to artsquincy.org, artsquincy.org, because this week there is so much going on. If you're bored, it's your own fault. Stay tuned. Unmasking the Singer in just 90 seconds. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD, the Mary Griffith Show, fully underway. And usually I go out in the green room and I meet my guests before they come in. But of course, Laura Sievert was being obnoxious out there and I didn't want to be in the same room with her. So I did not get to meet my first guest, but you look very familiar. So in my addled brain, you know, we're probably third cousins or something, and I've met you a million times before. But would you explain to me and to our studio audience who you are?
Well, my name is Julie Guinness, and I'm here with the Salvation Army. With
Now Matt I know
Schmidt.
Why I know you. I'm like, God, she looks so familiar. She's a star at the Quincy Community Theater. Yes, okay. Okay, so Julie is here for the Salvation Army Unmasking the Singer, because you have been a singer in the past.
Yes, my husband and I, Alex, we were the first duo to compete in Unmasking the Singer, so... Ever since we competed, we just kind of jumped on board, and the event is so much fun, and for such a great cause, we just have to be a part of it.
That's right. I was in the first class of Unmasking the Singer, and they got us all excited about doing it, and then COVID set in. And so we had a virtual thing, which actually I loved, because, you know, even though I only did one take, it was possible not to make a fool of myself and fall off the stage because they were just recording it at that time. Matt Schmidt also joins us from the Salvation Army. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, one of these years there may be an all-star edition, so don't roll out that you don't get a chance to perform live.
If you base it on votes, I won't be included, but I'm sure Amy Luton would love to be back on stage. No, it was really fun, and, you know, it was such a no-brainer when they called and said, hey, would you like to do something to help the Salvation Army? I said, I'm all in. So let's talk a little bit before we get into Unmasking the Singer Friday, April 25th. Tickets are available. We're going to tell you all about it. But first, I want to hear from Matt. This is so important. You know, the Christmas Kettle campaign is great, but it's not enough. Every time somebody needs something from the Salvation Army is there. Just this last Monday, they are having a big debate in Quincy about housing and what should we do to improve housing. And one of the president of the Landlord Association got up and said he had recently gone on three inspections with the city. And he said those three homes were condemned that day. He said, but the unintended consequence of that is, as horrible as those places were, no running water, no electricity. As horrible as those places were, those people then had nowhere to go. And he said, I frankly don't know where they went. And I remember sitting there, not supposed to speak as a journalist, but, you know, sometimes I interject. But I didn't that time. I wanted to say, I bet they were helped by the Salvation Army. Now, I don't know that for a fact. But that's the kind of critical stuff that the Salvation Army does. You take in people who've had a fire, who've been made homeless by a bad landlord, who are really down on their luck. I mean, the Salvation Army is that safety net that our community needs.
Yeah, and our number one goal, obviously, is we don't just want to keep people in shelter. We want to find them permanent, stable housing. So We have resources that it's rapid rehousing grants that can take somebody from the street and find them a house. But as you point out, that's a struggle in Quincy to find that safe, stable housing availability. It's happening, and just in the last month, I know we've put at least 3 to 4 families into permanent housing, which is great. But like I said, it's a competition. When you lose housing, suddenly people who are on one level have to drop down a little bit, and that bumps out those who are struggling to find their first place.
Well, and this is the argument. You know, of course, 60% of people voted. You know, the question really was, do you want people to live in a decent place? And the answer was yes. But that's a little bit easy. The real thing is, what are we going to do about that? Because they're still poor people. So if you could build, they were going to build 270 apartments out, you know, east of Quincy. Those would have been market grade apartments. Those would have been for people who can pay $1,200 a month or $800 a month. That wouldn't have helped anybody poor in Quincy. It got shut down anyway. But the bottom line is, until we get more affordable housing, the poor people, it doesn't matter. There could be 20 openings for apartments, but if the rent is $1,000 a month, these people are not going to be able to do that. So they not only need an immediate hand out, but they need a hand up. And really, the Salvation Army does all of that, whether you work with veterans, with families, with people who need food, with people who need help, maybe, you know, some transportation needs. Just, it's really a wonderful thing. Now, this money goes to both Hannibal and Quincy. It's used for housing. It's used for other things. What will this money raised on April 25th go to?
So, obviously, we talked about our shelter is our primary resource to the community, because we have 20 beds, and it's full every night. When it was super cold this winter, we set up cots in the community room, so we were housing up to 30, 40 people on a very cold night. So we want to continue to support this shelter, make sure they have the resources they need. We have rooms for men, we have rooms for women, and we have 2 family rooms. I was over there last week, and there are 2 little kids running around. So there's a family in there right now. So yes, we have homeless families with children needing assistance. So 5 years ago now, we came up with the idea we need to do something in the spring to support the shelter. And the umbrella, obviously, Hannibal is part of the Quincy Area Command. We have 2 separate budgets and everything, but we do want to do a joint fundraiser. So one big event to support both sides, and money's divvied up based on sponsors, whether they're from the Hannibal side or the Quincy side, or whether our contestants come from Missouri, Illinois, so forth. So it does benefit both sides, but obviously, we want to support homeless efforts on both sides. We can take residents from Hannibal area and put them in our Quincy shelter, but a lot of times we have to just assist them with hotel, motel housing on a short-term basis, because a lot of times we can't offer any other support if we don't know where they are. So if we can put them up in a place for 1 week, our case manager knows where they are, knows how to communicate with them, and can get them the resources and where they need to go for more permanent housing, or maybe they need to go to another community. So that's important. That hotel, motel housing money is important as well.
And it's expensive. So we have set the stage why this is such an important event. Now, the great thing about it is you can eat and drink and be merry and be mystified who's under the mask and do it all to support the Salvation Army. So we're going to take a break, head up to the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. Rex Battery brought you this report that's coming up. And then Julie Guinness and Matt Schmidt are going to extol the fun. And I mean it is FUN with a capital N. For Unmasking the Singer. We'll be right back. I'm Mary Griffith. This is the Mary Griffith Show, powered by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. My guests today are Julie Guinness, a past contestant on Unmasking the Singer for the Salvation Army, and Matt Schmidt, who represents the Salvation Army. He has just told us all about the great things they're going to do with the money they raise in Unmasking the Singer 2025, Friday, April 25th at the Town and Country Inn and Suites. $550 gets you a table of 8, and there are tables available still. So please call this number, 231-5674. That's 231-5674, just call the Salvation Army Croc Center and they'll figure it out for you. Or just get in $75 per person. Julie, tell us what's going to happen that night. We've all seen the show. A lot of us have seen the show The Masked Singer. This is a takeoff of that. Don't sue me. I'm just the messenger. But this is really a cute idea. You get these people dressed up in costumes, and if you can reveal, I know you can't reveal the people, but if you can reveal some of the costumes or even talk about some of the costumes last year, because there have been donuts, there have been glasses of lemonade, there have been firefighters, there have been buffaloes, there have been all kinds of things that have appeared.
Yes, we've got all kinds of different costumes for the contestants to wear. I'm thinking the new ones this year, we are going to have a shark.
Yeah. A shark.
We are going to have a
shark.
Perfect. You can use your imagination on what song inspired that. But
it could be Mac the Nut.
That's the fun part. We've got quite a variety of songs that these contestants are going to sing for you guys. And I'm excited to see how creative they get with the performance as well. Because what I tell all the contestants as they're preparing for this event is it's not necessarily a singing competition. Because they sing the songs, but it's mostly about how entertaining they can be. So we've got some really, really good crowd-pleasing songs. I think it'll be fun for everyone that's there, whether they're on the stage or sitting at the table.
Well, like Masking the Singer, some of the people are like baseball players or somebody who's famous for not being a singer, and yet they're on the competition. So again, they're all pretty pleasant to listen to. There's
right.
Nobody scratching their fingernails on a chalkboard. I was in it, and I'm no professional singer, but the bottom line is, it is all about the persona and the song selection. And the most fun thing about the night is that we get to vote.
Right.
I mean, it's not like a panel of judges is deciding who they think the best is. It's the crowd that gets to decide. So if they like somebody that maybe isn't a professional, well, nobody there, I guess, is a professional singer, although some are in bands and stuff like, let's put it this way, they don't make their primary living, being a professional singer, but
right.
There are an awful lot of people there who do get paid sometimes to sing, but they may not necessarily win.
Right. So this event is a lot of fun to attend, but bottom line is it's a fundraiser. So whoever raises the most money, each contestant will prepare two songs. And they all get to do their first song, and whoever raises the most money in that first round, they get to do the second one. So, well, the first, the whoever,
right.
The top.
And you, kind of
you can explain that.
Song selection is everything, because you may have two good songs. One features really showcases your voice, but the other one can really get the crowd going. So, which one do you want to go with first?
Oh, right.
Because
you don't, they only
one.
Have one, right. One play.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, as Julie said, it's not just about showcasing your voice. It's what you can do in that costume, because sometimes, too, some people get really creative and do a big performance with the costume. You may get a costume that may be a little more restrictive, so you got to be a little more creative on what you do, but it's showcasing how you perform your song that really gets the crowd going.
And one of the hardest things with competing in this is you don't have your facial expressions.
Well, that's right.
And so anyone
like
who's performed.
That silly little Band-Aid,
right.
Which is always seems to be in the top one, the little Quincy Medical Group Band-Aid. The great thing about that is if you fall off the stage, as the Band-Aid has done, it's mostly padding. So, you just kind of bounce back up and keep singing. There's just so many fun things, I think. And my husband's favorite was a couple of years ago, and I don't remember, but... And you ought to do this again. Stop me. It's the YMCA thing. If it's going to happen again, stop me.
No, you're fine. Usually one time you do things,
but it was the cutest little thing. Here's the Croc Center mascot, and all of a sudden, bursting into the arena, comes the YMCA mascot. Well, two feuding health center. And it was a throwdown, baby. And then at the end, they sang Why Can't We Be Friends? And it was so cute. And I thought, isn't that just so Quincy that an agency that is a competitor of the Salvation Army Croc Center in a way with the fitness, but is not a competitor in the homeless shelter, in the food pantry, would come out and help the Salvation Army? I think it just goes to show what a great community we have and how everybody's kind of in it together. I think that really, really says it. So we know we have a shark. Any other new things this year? Some of the old ones?
I will tell you we have three duos this year.
Three duos.
So you're going to see some combinations of, I believe, A Fox and a Hound, and some other similarities.
Okay.
J.M. Huber's a sponsor this year, and we have their gems. They have gemstones.
Yeah.
So they'll be new to the competition this year.
Oh, that's great.
So we're looking forward to that.
Almost every company has some kind of mascot.
Yeah, and we're always looking for new things. So
yeah.
We try to mix them up a little bit, so they're new costumes every year to go along with the new voices we have.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, Harrison Monument should get a slab of marble. And just, you know, I don't know who would be strong enough to, you know, just hollow it out. And, yeah.
And they can sing Brick House or something like that, right?
As we say at Harrison Monuments, what do you want on your tombstone? Yeah, that's cute. They have a little pizza cutter, you know, whatever. Free plug for Harrison Monuments, no charge. It's just a lot of fun. So the dinner, let's talk about the dinner. I mean, is it lima beans and liver, or is it something that I'll enjoy?
You'll
Although
enjoy
I,
it.
I love lima beans.
If you enjoyed last year's meal, you enjoy this
okay.
one. Neiman's Catering again, mm-hmm. so we appreciate them doing that. And yeah, so it's a full meal. So you come, have a little social time together, sit down, have this great meal, and then sit back and enjoy. And like you said, a lot of the fundraising comes night of the event as you vote with your dollars for these singers. And we do a lot of it electronically, but we still have the cash options as well.
Please continue to take cash, because by the time I would figure out how to vote over my phone, and I don't have Venmo, so I guess I couldn't anyway, by the time my husband and I would figure this out, it would be April 27th.
There you go.
You know, I mean, we just can't do it, but you will accept cash.
We
or
still
check.
Do that, yeah.
Okay, good. The old timers like me can still come. Now, social hour starts at 6, doors open at 6, trickle in, but they start serving dinner at 6:30.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're going to be one of those people that arrives at 6:29, the line to the bar could be long. Is there a bar?
Yes.
Okay.
Cash bar that is put on by somebody else, obviously.
Right.
But,
not the Salvation Army. Salvation Army would have nothing to do with the liquor. But
you got that.
Somebody else is putting on the bar, so you will be able to have adult beverages or soft drinks. You'll be able to have a wonderful dinner. And then at 6:30, the dinner is served. And then about 7 o'clock, it all starts. And again, how many contestants this year?
We have 7 acts.
And some of them are duos.
And a couple
okay.
are duos.
So I like this because it's quick. I mean, it doesn't take you all night. So all 7 will perform. And then there'll be a break because we're going to vote with our dollar bills or $100 bills, as Matt says.
Yes.
Just suggest that. And then they come back. And those who are at the top, what, 4 or something, or 3, get to do it their second song. So it won't be the same song again.
Yeah.
It'll be something completely
different.
So
we usually do the top 3 vote-getters advance, and then we have a save. So in the past, it's been a judge's save. This year, there's a little twist to it to maybe give the audience a little more say on who that save is. But, yeah, there's always 4 that will advance.
Okay. Well, this is great. The tickets are $75 per piece, but tables of 8 are available. And it's fun to go with a table because you can all kind of try to figure out who it is. And it's really interesting because a lot of times when they unmask these people, you have no idea that somebody could sing that well. It's like, here's Joe the Barber, you know, or whatever. We're like, what? Where did that come from? The only thing I would say is tell the people who are from a major corporation that if their table cheers excessively loud for them, it kind of gives
clue,
it
right?
away. Yeah, it kind of gives it away. We'll be back with our final moments because not only is Unmasking the Singer coming up on April 25th, but there's a pancake and sausage breakfast that Matt Schmidt really wants you to
right.
go to. And we'll talk about that when we return. Stay tuned. We're back at Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and Matt Schmidt works for the Salvation Army, but in his free time, he loves to freelance as a semi-professional pancake and sausage breakfast chairman for Blessed Sacrament Church, and you've got this event coming up. I'm going to give you a free plug here because I want to see your muscle get really big this Sunday morning. Is when the pancake and sausage breakfast is, right?
This Sunday morning at Blessed Sacrament Church, we have our annual pancake and sausage breakfast from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Everyone is welcome to attend. We have it at the school cafeteria at Blessed Sacrament. It does require steps, but that doesn't mean you have to eat downstairs. We also have an opening in the gathering space, so we have 2 serving areas to accommodate anybody who doesn't want to take the steps as well. But it is open to everybody, and we encourage anybody to stop by. It's $10 per adult, I believe 5 and under free, $5 for 12 and to 5 years old. But the best part is there's a family plan, too. So you can come bring the whole family for $25 and eat. So we just want you to come out and enjoy yourself.
So the Oberts and the Frerichs and the Neimans can come without bankrupting Blessed Sacrament Church.
It's the Catholic special.
The Catholic special, because, you know, if you're not careful, you won't make any money on the pancake and sausage breakfast if you have the family deal. But it's really great. It's at 7th and Adams. The opening into the park by the school, really, you know, if you just want to park on 7th Street, that'd probably be the best, or park on, you know, 8th Street and just come in through the playground, you know, to get to it. It's plenty of parking, really, plenty of space there. And of course, what do you use the money for?
It just goes back to support church activities.
I know one of the things that this church has done, and one of the things I'm really proud of, I'm sure you are too, being a member. There's a little parish in Haiti, and if it wasn't for Blessed Sacrament Church in Quincy, Illinois, that parish in Haiti really, really wouldn't exist. We have not only built a school for the children where they have to live there because it's so dangerous now in Haiti, we built a concrete block and barbed wire fence completely surrounding the compound so that the children who were being abducted on a regular basis from the school grounds, they're safe now inside that area. And the kids at the school get really excited. It's hard to explain to them what's going on down there. Their little minds can't grasp it. But they do understand that they need a wall around their playground. And we don't tell them why they need the wall. But, you know, we were able to raise over $30,000 just for that one event. So that was really, I think, something that the church does. So come out and have pancakes and sausage, what, juice and coffee and
everything you want with it.
Everything
yeah.
you want
and,
with it.
And my smiling face will be there
okay,
too. So.
I want my pancake stuff with crab Louie.
All right. So bring the crab and we'll see what we can do to throw it in the batter for you.
Stuff your own.
Yes.
If you want pancakes and sausage, that's fine.
We'll give you two pancakes. Put what you want between them.
If you want to bring whatever. Julie Guinness, thank you so very much for your smiling face today. I knew you from somewhere. What's next for you? Where's your next engagement?
My next engagement is prom this weekend. Boys going.
Okay. Oh, boys. Well, you didn't have the dress debacle then. Right. You just have to make sure they compliment, right?
Right.
And make sure they understand how to get the corsage.
Exactly.
See, kids do better with the wrist because the boys don't like to, yeah.
Mm.
And frankly, girls now don't wear anything you can pick. We won't go there.
It's bouquets and boutonnieres now.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, back Charlie would have never let me, not that anybody would ask me, but he would never let me to go to prom in those things. Thank you both for coming
by.
Thank you.